Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Longtime baseball writer, one of the smartest men who covers the sport. His name's Joe Sheehan. He distributes the Joe Sheehan newsletter. You can subscribe, and you should, at joesheehan.com. Make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Joe, I realize you're taking time out of your day with less than 40 minutes to the trade deadline to talk with me. So first, let me thank you for doing that, and I'll try not to keep you too long.
Oh, no sweat. I think you just want to do 20 minutes on the Darren Ruff pickup.
Does that matter? I read that and was like, oh, okay, I guess. Sell me on that.
It's somebody who hits lefties a little bit better than J.D. Davis does. They've never really caught in a Davis, and he's somebody who Davis, I think, wants to play more. Ruff is more comfortable in a platoon role and, like I say, a little bit better outfielder, which isn't saying something when you're talking about J.D. Davis. But the Mets are just making these small incremental upgrades, looking not to the next 2 months, but looking towards the playoffs.
Before we get to the big Juan Soto thing, there were reports in the past week that Shohei Ohtani was available. Are we now leaning toward he's not going to be moved? Where are we at on that?
I would be shocked. It's a very difficult trade to make in season because if you acquire Ohtani, you have to kind of build your roster around him. He's in a six-man rotation, plus he can only DH, so that's a roster thing. It's easier to make that kind of adjustment in the offseason. I do expect, though, Gary, that he'll be somewhere that's not in Anaheim at the start of next year. It's pretty clear he's not going to sign with the Angels long-term, and the Angels have to get something for him rather than see him walk.
One more thing on the Angels, just because this has been in the news over the past week, Mike Trout has what has been described as a rare back issue. How concerning is that?
It's concerning in the sense that he'll have to manage this probably for the rest of his career. We've seen this with players. My favorite player ever, Don Mattingly, 30 years ago, had a back problem kind of take out his career. We've seen David Wright as well in New York. I think about Randy Johnson, though, who basically spent the last 15 years of his career having to manage his back every day and went on to a Hall of Fame career. So it's a concern, and I think it cuts down Trout's long-term. Like, he's not going to get to 770 homers now. He's probably not going to get to 3,000 hits. Because he'll probably miss 30 to 40 games a season with this, but he can still be the player that he's been, one of the best hitters in baseball, probably move to left field in future seasons as well.
Talking to Joe Sheehan, he distributes the Joe Sheehan newsletter. You can subscribe at joesheehan.com. That's J-O-E-S-H-E-E-H-A-N. Big news of the day, arguably the biggest trade in Major League Baseball history, Juan Soto has been moved from Washington to San Diego, which means the Nationals have just, after letting Bryce Harper walk and moving Max Scherzer and Trey Turner and Anthony Rendon, they have now moved one of the best 23-year-old baseball players we've ever seen. Explain it to me.
Well, there's really no precedent for a player like as young and as good as Soto being traded. The comps, you kind of go to Babe Ruth, who was a little bit older back when he was sold in 1919. You go to Miguel Cabrera, who was a year older at 24 when the Marlins traded him away. Both of those teams did nothing. I mean, the Red Sox went 27 years without getting back to the World Series and, of course, didn't win it for 100 years. The Marlins have been in the playoffs for about 15 minutes since the Cabrera trade. So there's really no way to win a trade like this. The Nationals decided they had to trade Soto if they weren't going to sign him. Now, they won in 2019, and I think that buys you a certain amount of grace. You also make the argument that they didn't get to capitalize on their win because, of course, 2020 was the pandemic season, no fans, couldn't get the revenue from it. So I kind of have a little bit of sympathy for them, but look, if you're going to own a baseball team, and the Nationals are probably going to be sold here in the next couple of years, but isn't the point to have guys like Juan Soto around, to build around, to have your fans, you know, to develop a connection to? Yes, he's eventually going to cost $40 million a year. This just in. Good baseball players cost money, and it's a privilege to pay that money to them. So it's impossible to win a Juan Soto deal. The best you can do is get as much talent as you can and hope for the best. They've done that here. They did a pretty good job collecting talent for the Padres.
It's interesting because ever since it was reported that he turned down 15 years, $440 million, most people have focused on how do you turn down $440 million? And obviously the answer to that is when it averages out to only $29 million per year. I had people push back on me today when I tweeted I would be upset if I were a Nationals fan because they didn't make a serious offer to him, at least not one that makes sense on an annual average salary basis. So let me ask you, because you're smarter about this than I am, is 15 years, $440 million a serious offer to Juan Soto?
I think it's a serious first offer. And I never have a problem with a player taking the money. You're 23 years old. Somebody offers you $440 million. If you take that, I have no problem with that. But I also have no problem with the player looking at the landscape and going, well, okay, it's an AAV of $29 million a year. The best player, the highest AAV right now is Max Scherzer at 43. The best position players get 35, 36. If you're going to sign me 2 years to free agency, there's probably going to be a little bit of a haircut there, but that's too much. And that's before getting into the issue of, you know, inflation over the last couple of years compared to, say, the Trout or the Betts contract. So I thought it was a first offer, and I thought eventually if you were going to sign Soto, you're going to end up paying $500 million over 12 years. I think we're going to be talking about $40 million a year for him. And $29 million a year isn't really close to that. So a fair first offer, but one I completely understand Soto turning down.
Me too. I'm talking to Joe Sheehan. He's got the website, joesheehan.com. You can subscribe to the newsletter there. One of the points I made in the opening segment is just if I'm the Nationals and it's been reported that Soto wants the first $500 million contract, I would have put 15 years, $500 million out there or something like 10 years, $400 million out there. And made him turn those down, at which point I can tell my fans, we were told he wanted $500 million, we put it out there. We were told he wanted $40 million a year, which would have been the highest position player salary in the history of Major League Baseball. He turned them both down. It was clear to us he didn't want to be here. Why do you think they didn't take it a step further?
Well, let me take a step back from that, Gary. Do you want to sign the player and go on and win World Series, or do you want to win the news cycle? Because what you're talking about doing here is winning the news cycle. And I think that's pointless. Have the negotiation with the player, but don't have it in public. Make your best offer. Don't make it in public. I mean, all you're doing then is you're making it seem, and that's what that 15-400 deal sounded like. It made it seem like they wanted to win public opinion as opposed to actually signing the player. They were kind of setting it up for them to be able to say, well, we tried, and then they move on and have a $72 million payroll in a couple of years. The Cubs had done this in recent seasons where they want to win they want to get the public on their side. And Gary, I think 15, 20 years ago, this would work. Baseball fans are more sophisticated now about how much money is in the game. And I don't think it's going to work. I think this trade, look, if you win, the fans will come back. We know that. But I think in the short term, the Nationals are going to take a hit in the market for not having Juan Soto. And as you pointed out, this is on the heels of not signing Harper, not signing Rendon, trading away Turner, trading away Scherzer, and investing all the money in Steven Strasburg, who pretty much hasn't pitched in signing the deal.
Do we expect San Diego to reach a long-term deal with Juan Soto? Is there any urgency to do it?
There's not. And this is the other issue with the Nationals. The Nationals didn't have to do this. They could have said, let's revisit this in the offseason. If they couldn't reach a deal in the offseason, you still have 2 years of Soto to trade. They created this deadline for themselves that was unnecessary. Now, I don't think the Padres are going to be in a rush to sign it. Let's remember, they've got Tatis on the hook for 12 years, $300 million. They've got most of their core is in place for 2023, so they can look ahead and say, look, let's try to win this year, let's try to win next year, let's see where we are. I will say this, though. Peter Seidler, who took over that team about 4 years ago, has not been afraid to spend money. Remember, they've gone out and traded for a bunch of guys. They're going to end up paying the luxury tax or close to it this year. They gave Manny Machado a 10-year, $300 million contract. They don't act like a small market team. They act like a team that cares more about its fans and winning than it does about holding up the, oh, woe is us, small market something.
reportedly the Cardinals were, you know, at least interested on some level in trying to do a Juan Soto deal. There's some thought that Dylan Carlson, the Padres, wanted him to be a part of the deal. The Cardinals wouldn't include him in any deal. Is Dylan Carlson a deal breaker if you're running the St. Louis franchise?
I wouldn't make him a deal breaker, but if it's Dylan Carlson and Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman and whatever the package was going to have to be, at some point there is a breaking point where if you trade for Soto and don't have enough to put around him, this feels like an NBA trade, right?
Right.
You know, the NBA only has a handful of true superstars, and you get one, but you've got nothing around him. I think the Cardinals would have been in that position had they put Carlson into that deal. And also the Cardinals probably were looking at Soto as a two-year investment. They've never been – look, they've spent a lot of money for 18, given the size of its market, the size of its ballpark, the TV revenues, all of that. But they've never been an organization that wants to spend $40 million on a single guy. So I think for them, trading that much talent for a player they were probably going to lose in 2.5 years was hard to do.
Another interesting aspect as this trade went down today was initially Eric Hosmer was going to be in it, but he had Washington as one of the franchises on his no-trade list in his contract, and he refused to go to Washington, at which point they had to put, I guess it was Luke Voit, in the deal. Some people were acting like Eric Hosmer was out of line, but like when you negotiate this contract and you put that stuff in the contract, you put it there for a reason. This is a guy who is somewhat recently married, I believe has a baby on the way. If he doesn't want to leave San Diego to go to a place he actually put in his contract and said, I don't want to be there, I completely get why he, refused to budge on that, and I gather you did as well.
I do. I Hosmer has been a trade clause. The Padres knew about this. Now, somebody in this deal must have leaked it to put pressure on Hosmer, and Hosmer, to his credit, said, no, I don't want to go there. And not for nothing, Gary, here's San Diego, here's Washington, D.C. Here's a good team, here's a team that's about to go into a rebuild. That would have been a huge downgrade for Hosmer. And it's not even a situation where you can like really pay him to do it, because he has 3 years and $39 million left on his deal. Now, normally in this situation, you give a guy a two-year extension. Well, you really don't want to sign Eric Hosmer when he's 38, 39 years old. So it was a tough situation to make him whole. I had no problem with him rejecting the deal. It did create an awkward situation. The Red Sox really rescued, because it wasn't, Gary, it wasn't that the Nationals wanted Hosmer. It's that the Padres were trying to get out from under his contract, not even for the money, but for they didn't want to pay the luxury tax. Trading Hosmer as part of this deal was entirely about staying under the luxury tax threshold.
Talking to Joe Sheehan, he's got the Joe Sheehan newsletter. You can subscribe at joesheehan.com. Moving on, there was a big deal announced yesterday by the Atlanta Braves. Austin Riley, born right here in Memphis, Tennessee, 10-year contract with $212 million. Circling back, I thought it was interesting what you said about Juan Soto. You would have understood, young guy, big pile of money if he took it, even though on an annual basis it's a little below, or in Juan Soto's case, a lot below what is the current market value. Does that look like what Austin Riley's deal is there? It's going to come out to about $20, $21, $22 million per year, which might be end up being team-friendly, but he gets that big stack of guaranteed money.
Right, and this is a guy who doesn't have the pedigree of Tatis or Soto. He's a good prospect coming up. Honestly, Gary, 2 years ago, I thought he was Jim Presley. I didn't think he was going to hit for average. I thought he'd be a low OBP slugging type. And he completely changed his swing last year. Last year he hit for average, had a bunch of doubles. This year he was at 29 home runs coming out of July. Had one of the best months of the century in July. Just absolutely crushed them all. 92 total bases. Had the walk-off hit Sunday to cap the month. I think it's a fair deal for both sides. And again, it's the same thing, Gary. I don't begrudge the player his decision one way or the other. But I think this, I looked at that trade, it was like, I looked at the deal, it seems like both sides are getting what they want here.
Yeah, I thought so too. Wrapping up here with Joe Sheehan, joesheehan.com. Last thing before I let you go. Most important thing for me, Jacob DeGrom, 2-time Cy Young Award winner, going to pitch for the first time for the Mets in more than a year tonight. What should we expect?
A rehab start against whatever's left of the Washington Nationals. You couldn't have asked for an easier night. I think the thing is going to be the pitch. I don't think he's going to throw more than 70, 80 pitches at all over the next 6-7 weeks. Maybe at the end of the season they ramp him up to 100, get him ready for the playoffs. But with the Mets having a decent-sized lead, unless they get into a tough spot with the Braves, trying to hold off the Braves if they fall in the second, they're going to continue to treat DeGrom's regular season as a continuation of his return with an eye towards getting six good starts out of him in October.
That is Joe Sheehan. Go to the website, joesheehan.com. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter. It's worth your money. It's smart, intelligent, thorough baseball reporting and writing. You can find it all at joesheehan.com. I always appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, GP. Take care.
All right. That's Joe Sheehan, joesheehan.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.